नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रश्न भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष श्रीनिवास चत्य देशधारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद क्षेत्र शिवासादि गौरव भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग द we completed discussing from the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita last time, which discussed about Ashtanga Yoga or Dhyana Yoga, and today we are going to start the middle six chapters, which talks about Bhakti. So the first six chapters predominantly spoke about Karma or Karma Yoga. We completed last time, so first chapter is setting the scene and second chapter is like summary of the whole Bhagavad Gita, or you can say Sankhya. Primarily it talks the difference between body and soul, and of course there is some summary about something about Bhakti, something about Karma, something about Jnana. Everything is there in that. Third chapter introduces the concept of Karma Yoga. It talks about both Sakama Karma Yoga and Nishkama Karma Yoga. And it ends with the greatest obstacle for practicing Karma Yoga, which is lust. And then the fourth chapter discusses practice of Karma Yoga. How do you practice Karma Yoga? And how that practice of Karma Yoga culminates in Jnana. That is what the fourth chapter talks about. And the fifth chapter talks about Jnana Yoga in its two types. One is Karma Sannyas, another is Grihastha Sannyas. So these two things are discussed in the fifth chapter. And in the sixth chapter talks about Ashtanga Yoga, in which is an alternative for attaining the liberation. And Krishna ended the chapter by establishing that it is a better alternative for attaining liberation. So he mentioned tapasvibhyo adhiko yogi jnanibhyo api matodhikaha karmibhyascha adhiko yogi tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. In the ultimate verse Krishna says, Arjuna, of all the yogas that I have described to you till now, actually Ashtanga Yoga is the best. But in the next verse he says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam samaya yuktatamo mata. He says, but of all the different types of yogas, actually Bhakti Yoga is the best, he says. Or of all the various types of Ashtanga Yogas, because Ashtanga Yoga has already been established to be superior to all the other types of yogas that he has done. He says, there are many types of Ashtanga Yogas, like Asampragyata, Sampragyata, like that. Of all of that, the best is Bhakti Yoga, like that. You know, there are, so though he ended the chapter, now the last verse of the sixth chapter acted as the the introduction to the middle six chapters, which speaks about Bhakti. So that is where we ended our discussion this last week. So any discussion points, questions, comments from whatever we have discussed in the first six chapters, either what we discussed last week, the last verse of sixth chapter, or whatever other questions that you may have in the first six chapters, which are some concepts from the first six chapters, which is not clear. Anything anyone would like to share, ask, add from the first six chapters, you can please go ahead. We will start the seventh chapter from there. Anything anyone would like to share as add, you can either raise your hands or type your questions in chat box, whatever you're comfortable with. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions for the six chapters or from last session, anything anyone would like to share? Ask, add. Okay. So if there is none, then we will continue our discussion further. So we will start the seventh chapter, the bhakti part, from today. So the seventh chapter is titled as Knowledge of the Absolute. That's how Srila Prabhupada titles this chapter. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur titles this as Jnana Yoga. Let us see what this is. So in the first section, that Krishna, and one thing that we all have to understand, that even though a new chapter is starting now, but it is one coherent conversation that is happening between Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna is not telling Arjuna that, Arjuna, now I have completed the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, now I am going to start the seventh chapter. No. It is a coherent conversation. So even though a new chapter is starting now, one should understand, but this is one coherent conversation. It is Vyasadeva who divided it into 18 different chapters based on, where he felt it was a change of theme. But otherwise, it's one coherent conversation that is happening between Krishna and Arjuna. So Arjuna, Krishna has been speaking about Ashtanga Yoga, and he established Ashtanga Yoga superior to all the other yogas that he had described. And then he says, but yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam samittatamo mata. O Arjuna, of all the different types of yogas that I have spoken about, that yogi whose mind fixed in me, whose mind is fixed in me, means that Krishna is the goal of that yogi. That yogi is not after liberation. That yogi is not after swarga. That yogi is after some mystic powers or some other material benefits. His end goal is Krishna. That is what is the meaning of madgaten antaratmana. His mind is fixed. Because anyone's mind is always fixed on the ultimate benefit that one can gain through that practice. So madgaten antaratmana means, an Ashtanga Yogi, if an inferior Ashtanga Yogi, his mind will be in the various mystic powers. If he is a superior Ashtanga Yogi, his mind will be in liberation. But for a Bhakti Yogi, mind will be in Krishna, because he is always meditating on Krishna as the goal. So that is the meaning of madgatena antaratmana. Shraddhavan, and he has faith in the process of Bhakti Yoga, and bhaje yoma, with faith he worships Krishna, and Krishna says that he is the best of all the yogis. So now, having introduced Bhakti Yoga, now he starts by describing that Bhakti Yoga. Okay. So he says that Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya Saktamana Partha Yogam Yunmadashtaya Asamshayam Samadramma Yatagya Sasitakshrunu. So he says, with your mind attached to me, my asakta manaha, with your mind attached to me, okay, yogam yunjan, establishing relationship with me, mad ashrayaha, surrender to me alone, samagram mam yata gnyasesi, you will know me in my complete form asamshayam, without any doubt, touch, please listen. So he is describing the process of bhakti here. What is this bhakti? He says the first aspect is mind is attached to Krishna. Okay, once mind is attached to Krishna, means Krishna is the goal. And yogam yunjan means establishing a relationship with Krishna. This further clarifies that the mind is with Krishna means not Krishna as a means, but Krishna as the end. He does not want to worship Krishna as means of attaining something else. Krishna is his end. That is what is indicated here by the word yogam yunjan. And that person is surrendered to Krishna alone, which means not demigods, okay, and not any other process like karma yoga, jnana yoga, etc. Okay. And by such a practice of, by such a practice, one completely understands Krishna. Okay. Not in his Brahman feature, not just in his Paramatma feature, but completely in his Bhagavan feature, if one has to understand, one has to follow this process of bhakti, which is characterized by these three things: Mayasaktamana, Yogam Yunjan, Madashrayaha. One's mind is attached to Krishna and he wants to establish a relationship with Krishna, and he surrenders Krishna alone and no one else. Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhar commenting on this, he says, when will I take shelter of Mahaprabhu's feet? This is a new chapter commentary starting. Therefore, Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhar Thakur is remembering Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his worshipable Lord. He says, when will I take shelter of Mahaprabhu's feet, which are a sweet ocean of mercy made of eternal bliss? Then, some other, I will attain the nectar of prema through the path of bhakti, which shun liberation. So, of course, today in the morning session also we were discussing that how the nature of prema is such that one who has it thinks he does not have. That is the nature of prema. That is why those who have prema ask for it. So therefore, we cannot apply material logic to him. If someone is asking something to Krishna, then he must not be having it. Right? So otherwise, why would someone ask something to Krishna which he already has? It is redundant. Right? It is redundant. You are wasting a chance. When Krishna has come with you, he is willing to offer you anything that he wants. And you end up asking for something you already have. You know, someone may think that is ridiculous. Or someone may conclude that the very fact is asking this to Krishna means that he does not have it already. But this logic does not apply to perfected devotees. Because any person who has that prema, he will never say, or he will never understand that he already has. So, therefore, Vaishnavera Yamudra Vigyehana Mujaya. One cannot understand the actions, intentions, and words Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas means perfected Vaishnavas. Of course, this state does not apply to sadhakas who are troubled by their anarthas. So when regular sadhakas who are troubled by their anarthas, when they act in strange ways, then you can ascribe that to the power of their conditioning. Okay. Still, we should not judge them because it is just their conditioning and it's not their faith which is acting. That we understand. But perfected devotees, they can be judged because they are driven by a different force. When we perform actions, our acts are driven by impressions which are born out of the three modes. Some actions are driven by mode of goodness, some actions are driven by impressions in the passion, and some actions are driven by impressions in the mode of ignorance. But when similar actions are performed by perfected devotees, we may end up thinking that, oh, now he is influenced by mode of passion, now he is influenced by mode of ignorance. But no, they are influenced only by prema. And because we do not understand that impetus, we do not understand that moving force, therefore we may end up misunderstanding them. So we should not be judging practicing devotees, because practicing devotees perform inappropriate actions only due to the power of their conditioning, which Krishna promises will go away very soon by the practice of people. But we should not be judging perfect devotees because we are incapable of judging them. And we should not be judging practicing devotees because they perform inappropriate acts only due to the power of their conditioning and not faith. It is not a problem with their faith. And Krishna promises that the conditioning will gradually vanish because Krishna will take. So here is one case where Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is telling that when will I take shelter of Mahaprabhu's feet? So we will apply our material logic and tell this proves that Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has not yet taken shelter of Mahaprabhu's feet. Okay. Which is not true. Okay. Only then, somehow or other, I will attain the nectar of prema. Then we will say, which means he has not yet attained the nectar of prema. So this kind of material logic does not apply. It does not apply to perfected devotees. So he says, the seventh chapter describes the powers of Krishna, the powers of the Lord who is the most worthy of worship. So this is the first topic. So you can say first topic is powers of Krishna. The four types of persons who worship and do not worship Krishna are also described. This is the second topic. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna arto jigyasura artharthini cha bhartarishabha. Like that. So this is the second topic that is this. So then he says, in the first six chapters of the Gita, jnana and ashtanga yoga, which lead to liberation and depend upon nishkama karma yoga, which first purifies the heart, have been described. So we discuss. So according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, there is Sakarma Yoga, which leads to Nishkama Karma Yoga. And by Nishkama Karma Yoga, when the heart gets purified, then there are three paths. One is, Grihastha Sannyas. Which is Karma on the platform of jnana. Okay. So they don't take external sannyas, but internally they are completely detached. So that is grihastha sannyas. Internally they are completely detached from any kind of material desires. Then, or they could practice, karma sannyas, which is jnana yoga. Or one could practice ashtanga yoga. And all these three lead to sayujya mukti or impersonal liberation. This is what we discussed in the first six chapters. So the first six chapters talk about what Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur calls as guni bhuta bhakti. Guni bhuta bhakti means where bhakti is secondary but karma, jnana or yoga is predominant. Basically, the Vedas do not talk about any path which does not contain an element of bhakti. Because without that element of bhakti, that path will not give rise to any tangible fruit. So therefore the Vedas will never talk about such a path. So this, the first six chapters talk about what is called as guni bhuta bhakti. Guni bhuta bhakti means where bhakti is gauna or secondary, but karma, jnana, yoga are primary. Okay. So he says, the middle six chapters, two types of bhakti will be described. What? That bhakti which yields salokya and other types of liberation by being either without desire or with desire because of a mixture of karma, jnana or other elements. And the main type of bhakti which yields liberation in the form of becoming an associate of the Lord with prema. Okay. So, these are two types which Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur calls as pradhani bhuta bhakti, where bhakti is predominant but there is a tinge of karma, jnana or yoga, and there is shuddha bhakti or pure devotional service where there is no tinge of karma, jnana or yoga. So this predominant bhakti can take one till Vaikuntha. And in Vaikuntha, one may experience, what is called a Salokya Mukti, where you share the same planet with the Lord, or at the most you may reach till Shantarati, which is a very, very preliminary, very rudimentary form of a relationship with Krishna, which is in a very, very rudimentary form. Okay. One can, by mixed devotional service, one can reach till there. But they cannot attain prema, a full-fledged relationship with Krishna. But by practice of the bhakti, one can go to either Vaikuntha or Goloka and experience prema. Okay. So the two types of bhakti, pure bhakti and predominant bhakti, these two are described in the middle six chapters. Okay. So he says, this type of bhakti is independent of karma, jnana, the other processes, and moreover, independently yields all goals such as swarga and moksha without performance of any other processes. Though easy to perform for all people, it is moksha. So many times people say, Prabhu, I think mixed devotional service is easy for me. I think I will practice mixed devotional service because pure devotional service is very difficult. So I asked, Prabhu, why do you think pure devotional service is very difficult? They said that because Prabhu, In pure devotion, set out to practice everything purely. Your chanting has to be there is a lot of hard work. Then I asked, oh, what is your understanding of mixed devotional service? Mixed devotional service means I can be a little relaxed. That is their understanding of mixed devotional service. Mixed devotional service means I can be a little relaxed and some amount of material desires, lust, anger, envy, greed in my heart, that is all right and acceptable. That is mixed devotional service. That is their understanding. I told Prabhu, you are in grand illusion. Actually, in mixed devotional service, apart from practicing the 9 limbs or the 64 limbs of devotional service, you have to additionally practice all the limbs of karma or all the limbs of jnana and all the samskaras. Everything you have to practice. And apart from that, you know, there is a higher level of purity that is expected from you. To think that my heart can have all kinds of material desires and still I will practice bhakti, that is mixed devotional service, is a big illusion. Because unless your heart is completely purified of all these kinds of material desires, even by practicing mixed devotional service, you cannot go Vaikuntha. So then he thought, oh, what do you mean? Which means I have to work harder to practice mixed devotional service than to practice pure devotional service? I said, absolutely yes. In fact, there is a lot of material qualification needed to practice mixed devotional service, but there is no material qualification for practicing pure devotional service. So then he thought, then why do I feel that mixed devotional service is very easy? That's because you don't understand what is mixed devotional service. And you think that if you know your anarthas are there within the heart in the form of lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion and pride, you think such a person cannot practice pure devotional service. This is not true. One may have that. One may not actively wish to indulge in those things. But if one is unable to tolerate them due to the force of one's conditionings, that does not disqualify one practicing pure devotional service. That kind of practice of practice of pure devotional service is called as unsteady pure devotional service or anishchita bhajana kriya, where the steadiness of one's practice of pure devotional service is obstructed by these various anarthas. So that this second type of bhakti which we'll be discussing in this chapter is independent of karma, jnana and other processes, and moreover it independently yields all such as swarga and moksha without the performance of any of the other processes. Which means, even if one may have a desire to attain the goals of karma, jnana and yoga, without practicing any of the limbs of karma, jnana, yoga, one can get all of that just by practicing bhakti, without mixing that bhakti with any of the other limbs. So, bhakti does not need the support. Bhakti cannot be strengthened by karma, jnana and yoga. Bhakti can only be adulterated by karma, jnana and yoga. So, the fastest and the easiest means attaining even material benefit or impersonal liberation is by practicing unadulterated bhakti. The moment you adulterate it with karma, jnana and yoga, you slow down the process. So, that is the point that he is making here. He says, even if one may have a desire for other things, one can one can achieve it through practice bhakti. So he says, yat karma vir yat tapasana vairagya tischayat yogena dana dharmena shteyo vir itarairapi sarvam madbhakti yogena madbhakto labatejasa varga apavarga mandama kutanchit yadivanchati. Everything that can be achieved by fruitive activities, penance, knowledge, detachment, mystic yoga, charity, religious duties, and all other means of perfecting life is easily achieved by my devotee through loving service unto me. If some or other my devotee desires promotion to heaven, liberation, or residence in my abode for service, like Chitraketu Maharaj, he wanted Chitraketu Maharaj wanted a nice airplane and other such paraphernalia for preaching in the Gandharva Loka. That was not for enjoyment, that was for teaching purposes, right? Similarly, you know, if I need to give an online Zoom session, I need the facilities of an internet connection, a laptop and all that. Okay. So, but that is service and that is not for personal enjoyment. Okay. That way it is not mixed devotional service. It is not mixed devotional service. It is pure devotional service only. So even if one may want such things, he easily achieves such benedictions. Okay, like that. So, this is a long purport. This is a very long purport. Wow. Okay, I think we may have to pause and take this purport in sections. I think we will pause here and see if there are any quick discussion points or questions, anything anyone would like to share as add. You can please go ahead. There is something in that box, we'll first take that. Is there any specific term for unsteady devotional service? Yeah, it is called as Nishtita Bhajana Kriya. Nishta means steady, Anishtita means unsteady. So unsteady devotional service is called as Anishtita Bhajana Kriya. Okay. Yes, Keshav Priya Mataji.
Arakshana Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam. Prabhuji, next slide, Prabhuji. There is a word like liberation with desire, without desire. What does that mean, Prabhuji? This one.
Next. Which one?
Next one, Prabhuji. Yeah, here, second paragraph.
Two types of bhakti will be described, that bhakti which yields salokya and other types of liberation, by being either without desire or with desire. So, without desire or with desire means they may not have desire for liberation. We will be seeing that in that section on Artho, Arthi, Jigyasu, Jnani, those four types are there. In that, the Jnani we mentioned to be, he does not have a specific desire for liberation, but his practice bhakti is somehow tinted with some tinges of past practice of jnana. So even though he wants a relationship with Krishna, he does not just want liberation. He wants a relationship with Krishna, but because the influence of the past practice of jnana, he does not want a very intimate relationship with Krishna. He wants a very distant relationship with Krishna, which is Shantarati. That's what he gets. Does not want a specific, he does not want just liberation. He wants a relationship only, but he wants a very not so intimate relationship with Krishna, because of the strong influence of jnana, which is not going away. Like, if you have noticed this, if you have a box of asafoetida, hing, or in Tamil you call it peringayam,
yes,
and you wash very nicely, very clean, it's sparkling clean, and you put some talcum powder in it, and then you take that talcum powder in your hand, there will be the smell of hing in it. How much you wash, it will not go away. So similarly, this person, because of his strong prior practice of jnana, even though he has now taken up to pure practice of devotional service, that influence of past practice of jnana does not go away very easily. So therefore, because he has given up jnana and taken up to pure bhakti, he wants a relationship with Krishna. He is not after liberation. But because the influence of that past practice of jnana, he wants only a distant relationship with Krishna and not a very intimate relationship with Krishna. So we'll be discussing about also in one of the later verses of this chapter. Like that.
Prabhuji, that means he wants a relationship, but he does not want to serve. Is it, Prabhuji?
Not that he does not want to serve. Because bhakti means service only.
The jnani, they just merge, no, Prabhuji. That's why I'm asking.
Now, do you have a specific relationship with Krishna?
Me, whom, Prabhuji?
No, I'm asking you, do you have a specific relationship with Krishna now?
No, Prabhuji.
Are you serving Krishna?
Prabhuji?
Are you serving Krishna?
Yes, Prabhuji, yes.
That's what he will also do.
Okay, okay.
He will not want a very full-fledged relationship with Krishna, but he will
know
Krishna.
Okay, Prabhuji. Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Anything else anyone would like to share as that? Okay, there is something in the chat box. Can I say that I am anishchita follower of bhakti, that I don't have shuddha bhakti? Can you clarify, bro? It's very clear. I think I'm getting some idea about it, but it's not very clear. Can you please clarify what exactly you mean?
Thank you, sir, bro. Can you hear?
Yeah.
So, bro, this was a little something that I would like to understand. So, you said that it's hard to follow mixed bhakti. At the same time, you know for sure that, at least for my side, that I'm not doing the shuddha bhakti. So
how do you know, Guru? How do you define Shuddha Bhakti?
Anna Vilasita Sunyam Gyan Karmadhyan Navritam.
Okay.
So I know that I'm not safe.
Now, what aspect of it you are not following?
Anna Vilasita.
So you have desires, you have other desires, goals?
Not pure desires.
So, your impure desires, do you accept them to be anarthas or this?
I consider, I mean, myself, honestly, that I still have a lot of anarthas in my life, offenses that I do.
Yeah, but anarthas, do you wish to give up some offenses and anarthas, or do you wish you want them to be fulfilled?
I'm trying my best, Prabhuji, to leave it, but it's not going away.
That's okay. That will take its own time. Because if everything goes away just by our desiring, then we will also become like Krishna, na? Because Krishna is Satyasankalpa. He desires, everything is accomplished. But we are not omnipotent like Krishna. Just we desire and everything happens. That will not happen. That because you have accumulated these anarthas over many, many millions of lifetimes, they will take at least a few years or a few decades or maybe one or two lifetimes to go away. But as long as you are asking that it goes away, then that is not mixed devotional service. That is actually pure devotional service on the level of anartha nivritti. So when Rupa Goswami says the nine stages starting from Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema. When he is describing about these nine stages, he is talking about nine stages of pure devotional service only. He does not say that till Anartha Nivritti, it is mixed devotional service. Nishta onwards, it is pure devotional service. He does not say like that. So,
that's very nice. Yes. Yeah, but that helps. I think that helped me understand now.
Okay. So, recently we did a course, a short course, a four-session course called Are You Sure Your Bhakti is Pure? Okay. This is a very foundational thing. So, if some of you who have attended my Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu sessions, you might have heard it. But some of you have not heard it. Please write to me personally. I will share the recordings with you. Please hear, because this is very, very foundational and often misunderstood concept. But the essence of those four sessions, which is about close to 10, what we have discussed, the essence of that, I have answered it in two or three sentences to Ramacharya Prabhu. The essence is, Srila Rupa Goswami says these are nine stages of pure devotional ceremony. So while we are struggling with our anarthas, it's still pure devotional service, because those desires are in the form, you see them as obstacles and not goals. Like you feel lusty, you feel angry, but you don't think that the object of your lust is your goal of life. You see that object of lust, even intermittently we may get consumed by desire to, but we may be consumed by the urge to enjoy it, but still that is not, we don't see it as a goal. We see it as an obstacle to our goal of establishing a relationship with Krishna. So therefore, pure devotional service or mixed devotional service is not decided based on one's conditioning. Conditionings have nothing to do with pure devotional service or mixed devotional service. Pure devotional service or mixed devotional service is decided based on one's faith. It is not based on one's condition. Is that okay, bro?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Very nice.
All right. Okay. Anything else anyone would like to share as add? Okay. If there is none, then we will continue our discussion. Okay. So then we've seen that here Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhar says in this chapter we will see about two types of bhakti. One is Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti or predominant bhakti, and Shuddha Bhakti or pure bhakti, which is not dependent on karma, jnana, etc. Okay. He says, but the Shruti says, Tameva Viditva Atimrimeti, knowing it, one surpasses death, Shvetashvapatara Upanishad says. How can you then say, without knowledge, just by bhakti, one attains liberation? So he quotes, someone may quote Shvetashvatara Upanishad, and they say that, knowing it, one attains liberation. It refers to man. Okay. So, quoting this, they may say, oh, this is what the Upanishad says. How then can you say that without knowledge, just by bhakti, one can attain liberation? How is it possible? How is it possible? Okay, you say that by bhakti, you can attain love for Krishna. But liberation means you should practice jnana only, na? without jnana, how can you attain liberation? Someone may say like that. So he said, no, this is not a correct conclusion. The meaning of that Shruti statement is knowing Paramatma, having direct realization of Paramatma, one surpasses death. So, tameva vidya. So, tam here does not refer to jiva. It actually refers to the Supreme Lord. And knowing Supreme Lord is bhakti. So, therefore, just by the path of jnana, or by which one can know only, Atma, one cannot attain liberation. So it does not mean knowing individual soul or prakriti or any existing object at all, one surpasses death. It's not that knowing these things. Just as the cause of tasting should be the tongue, not the eye or ear. So the cause of tasting the Parabrahman is bhakti. Okay. So if you want to taste sugar, you have to use tongue. If you want to see sugar, you can use your eye. If you want to hear, you know, sugar falling, you know, you are pouring sugar into the box. If you want to hear that sound, you can use your ear. But if you want to taste it, you have to use only tongue. So just as tongue is the only means of tasting sugar, similarly, bhakti is the only means of tasting Parabrahma. So he says that it is possible to grasp the Brahman, which is beyond the gunas, only by the process of bhakti, which is also beyond the gunas, and not by sattvic knowledge, atma being different from the body. So knowledge of the soul, which is, I am not this body, in the soul, that knowledge is not sufficient to attain liberation. That knowledge is not sufficient to attain liberation. That is sattvic knowledge only. That is knowledge within the realm of, it is not transcendental knowledge. That knowledge is not transcendental to the three modes. That knowledge is within three modes. So, and with that knowledge, you cannot attain liberation. For liberation, you have to realize the Paramatma at least in order to attain Sahijya Mukti. Okay, and if you realize Bhagavan, then you attain the spiritual world. So that is what he says. And only bhakti is beyond the three modes. Therefore, to attain the Supreme Lord, you have to practice only bhakti. By the path of jnana, one cannot attain liberation, because liberation is beyond three modes. That is why, you know, even while practicing jnana, towards the end of the jnana, you give up your the limbs of jnana. So jnana sannyas has to be practiced, right? So he says, this is understood from the Lord's statement, bhaktyaham kaya grahyaha. I am obtained only by bhakti. And I will elaborate on this in the commentary verse, bhaktyamam abhijavanati yavan yaschatattvatah. I can be known as I am only by bhakti. So he says that now this is described only by bhakti, one can attain the Lord. This is mentioned in the 11th canto, and you see this in the 18th chapter also. He says, I will elaborate on this. And the accomplishment of liberation through jnana ashtanga yoga is brought about only through the influence of bhakti, which is a subordinate element within those practices. Okay. So, even achievement of liberation through the path of jnana and yoga is possible only due to the element of bhakti. Without the element of bhakti, even the path of ashtanga yoga or jnana yoga cannot give liberation. So he says, It is stated in many places in the scriptures that without bhakti, those two processes are insignificant. Moreover, because of the absence of the word eva after viditva, there is another meaning. So he says, tam eva viditva atimrityumeti. Moreover, because of the absence of the word eva after viditva, so he does not say tam viditva eva atimrityumeti. He says tameva viditva atimrityumeti. You know, so tameva viditva means by knowing him only. So he says this sentence without eva does indicate that exclusively by knowing Paramatma one attains liberation. So this sentence without eva does not indicate that exclusively by knowing Paramatma one attains liberation. Rather, knowing Paramatma or not knowing, one attains liberation. Okay, so you may know Paramatma or not know Paramatma. We will get to this, we will go a little ahead and come back. Okay, therefore, one can get liberation by knowledge beyond the gunas, knowledge of Paramatma, which arises through bhakti, and sometimes also one can liberation without Paramatma, knowledge arising from bhakti by bhakti alone. Okay, so tam there refers to Paramatma. So whether you are practicing Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, you have to realize the Paramatma, and that realization of Paramatma comes from the practice of bhakti, but by the element of bhakti. This bhakti may be the secondary element. Okay, but if you practice pure bhakti, you may not specifically realize Paramatma aspect of the absolute truth. You may directly realize the Bhagavan aspect, but still you get liberation. Right? So, that is what he is indicating here. So he says, it is just like eating sugar, which cannot be tasted due to malfunction of the tongue. But gradually taste is restored and as well the sickness is destroyed. So one action accomplishes two results. Okay. So yeah. So this is two results that you can realize Bhagavan also, and at the same you can get liberation also, like that. So it is not necessary that, yes, unless one realizes Paramatma, one cannot achieve liberation. But this is only for the inferior practitioners. But for one who is practicing pure devotional service, he may not realize the inferior form of the incomplete form of Paramatma, but he may directly realize the complete form of Bhagavan. And he can still get liberation and much more than that, actually. That is prema. So in the Tika Canto, it is mentioned that nanu ishvaro anubhajato vishopi sakshat shreyas tanoti agada raja ivopayuktaha. He says, it is true that the Supreme Lord himself awards his blessings even to an ignorant worshipper, just as the best medicine works even taken by a person ignorant of its ingredients. In the Moksha Dharma, there is a statement made about Narayana. Yovai sadhana sampattihi purushartha chatushtaye taya vinata dapnoti naro Narayana ashraya. This is very interesting. He says, even without performing actions for attaining the four purusharthas, Artha, Dharma, Kama, and Moksha, the person surrenders to Narayana attains that goal. So someone may say, Artha and Kama, material, wealth and sense gratification can be attained only by the process of karma, liberation only by the process of jnana and yoga. But bhakti, without any karma or jnana interference, by purely practicing bhakti, one can attain dharma, artha, kama, moksha much more faster and in a much more powerful way. So therefore, bhakti does not need the support of karma, jnana and yoga. And whatever karma, jnana, yoga, by karma, jnana and yoga you can attain, that can be attained by practice of bhakti only. Like that. So, he says, as quoted above already, Bhagavatam says, everything that can be achieved by fruitive activities, penance, knowledge, detachment, mystic yoga, charity, religious duties, and all other means of perfecting life is easily achieved by my devotee through loving service unto me. If somehow or other my devotee desires promotion to hell, liberation, or residence in my abode, he easily achieves such benedictions. So that is possible. So he says then, yan nama sakrit shravanat kukka shopi vimuchyate samsarat. Not to speak of seeing you personally, merely by hearing the holy name of your lordship, only once even chandalas, men of the lowest class, are freed from samsara. Okay, like that. So this freedom from samsara is actually liberation. And liberation is generally possible by the process of either jnana, by the process of either jnana or yoga. Just give me one second. So, but he says, yannama sakrit shravanat, merely by hearing the holy name of Holy name only once, one can attain freedom from samsara. So it is not necessary to perform the processes. So he says, thus according to many such statements in the scriptures, liberation can be attained by bhakti alone. Like that. Okay, any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone want to share as and till now, whatever we have discussed? Yes, Sukavaha Mataji. Let us welcome Sukavaha Mataji to our. We are very honored to have her presence. Yes, Mataji.
Talking about liberation here, is that liberation into the Brahma Jyoti, or is that just you're freed from your past karma, or what does that liberation mean? It seems like a couple of different kinds of liberation. Are there?
There are many different types of liberation, but liberation in general refers to freedom from material miseries, and the basic form of that is impersonal liberation, merge the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. That is the very basic form. It is like the plain vanilla liberation. So then there are other forms of liberation. Further, when you go to Vaikuntha, then you share the same abode with the Lord. Then sometimes you may get the same opulences as the Lord, or sometimes you may get intimate proximity with the Lord with a fully established relationship. So there are many different types of liberation, but the very basic connotation of liberation is really freedom from material miseries, complete freedom from material miseries. And the basic form of that is in the merging in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, like that.
So, just clarify. So you say the basic meaning of liberation is to be free from material misery.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You may possibly could attain liberation and then maybe at that point come in contact with a devotee and then want to take to more deeper devotional service. Is that true or not?
Can you repeat your point, Mataji? Because your voice was a little bit breaking.
Oh, yes.
Hare Krishna, we can't hear you, Mataji.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I was saying is, you talk about liberation, we talk about freedom from samsara, which basically everybody's looking for some freedom from misery because the material world is pretty miserable. So is it possible that Krishna may give, some aspects of liberation, and then, when you're a little relieved, then maybe you come in contact with a devotee and you become more inclined to the deeper aspects of bhakti? Or are you just kind of, the way I look at it, sentenced to just plain old liberation? Of course, we're never sentenced, but does that make sense?
Yeah. If one is fortunate, if someone never comes in touch with a devotee, but he practices the Vedic parts of karma, jnana, etc., and achieves impersonal liberation, then subsequently, is it absolutely impossible for him to come in touch with a devotee and take up the path of pure devotional service and perfect it? It is possible, but extremely rare. It's very rare. It's much more rarer than what you see in the human form in this world. But after going to Brahma Jyoti, in one sense, they will see themselves as being eternally liberated. But a devotee will see someone to be eternally trapped. But it is not eternally trapped. They are like almost trapped, but they don't feel it that way at all.
Right. Another, thank you very much. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Another question. So, Krishna's saying all these things, and as far as I remember from my basic lessons, is like, if you practice bhakti, you'll get you'll get your material and spiritual desires will be fulfilled. And that's what you're saying here. So is Krishna just trying to get everybody to practice bhakti so that, even though maybe they may have other, they're inclined to other goals, but if in the process of bhakti, just like Dhruva Maharaj in the practice of his little devotional service given to him by Narada Muni, he said, oh my gosh, I really blew it. I was desiring something so puny and now I've seen you. I want you. Yeah. Is that kind of what Krishna is trying to do? He says, just whether you want me, whether you have all material desires, you have no desires, just worship me and everything will work out. Something like that.
Yeah. So that is one thing which he is definitely telling. Whether Krishna is there telling here or not, but definitely the acharyas are quoting supporting verses to substantiate that, okay, even if you may have alternate goals, at least try to fulfill those goals by practicing pure devotional service. So now, if someone has alternate goals, how is that pure devotional service? So pure devotional service has two aspects. One is the goal, another is the practice. So the goal can be impure, but the practice can be pure. So which means one may not want prema. One may be satisfied only with liberation, but one is willing to, in order to achieve that liberation, one is willing to practice pure ninefold devotional practice. That they are willing to do. But they don't want prema, they are just satisfied with liberation. So that is very good. That is very good. It's the fastest way of achieving that liberation also. So yeah. Is Krishna recommending that? Yes. He says, yeah, if you can keep your practice at least pure, that is really wonderful. That's what he says.
And also is it kind of like, you know, possibly in the process of bhakti, you may change your goal, just like in the devotees who were told to say Mara 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 Rama Rama Rama. So it's like Krishna and the devotees are always trying to give the highest. And of course, you always have your choice. But if we're giving you the best, you might somewhere along the line change your goal. You might see, oh, what was I want? What was I thinking? Something like that.
That is the wishful thinking of Krishna.
Yes. Okay.
Why do I say that is the wishful thinking of Krishna? Because Krishna does not want to force.
Yes, he doesn't interfere with our independent free will, right?
Yeah. So, therefore, what is Krishna wishing? Krishna is wishing that if this person at least takes up to pure practice of bhakti, even though his goal may be mixed, there is a higher chance that he may come in touch with other practitioners whose practice is also pure and goal is also pure, and in their association his heart may develop a transformation, his heart may get transformed. That is the wishful thinking of Krishna.
Beautiful. That's so really beautiful to hear. May I ask one more question?
Yes, Mataji.
So sorry, you were talking just a little bit before this about Paramatma, and you said something like somebody, you know, may not have to get Paramatma realization. They may just realize Krishna's form. Now, I don't exactly know what Paramatma realization is. And when we pray to Krishna, I mean, as far as I was taught, you know, we're praying to the Krishna that we know, the deity form that we know, or, you know, Krishna, you know, from our heart, the holy name. So I know there is a distinction between Paramatma and Bhagavan. However, is there a connection, like praying to Krishna in your heart and praying to Krishna? Is there like a connection there, something? Because, you know, I don't
When devotees pray for Krishna within the heart, it is mentioned that Bhagavatam says when someone chants the holy names or hears Krishna Katha, then Krishna as Bhagavan enters into their, through their ear holes, Krishna enters into their heart as Bhagavan. So actually the verse itself says Krishna enters. Now someone may say, what do you mean Krishna enters? Krishna is already there as Paramatma within the heart. Yes, he is already there as Paramatma within the heart of every single living entity. But here, Bhagavatam means he enters as Krishna. Because as Paramatma, he is neutral. He is not obliged to respond to you. His job is to observe what are your desires. And whether do you have appropriate karma to enjoy those desires and sanction it, that's all. So that sanctioning role only Krishna does as Paramatma. But when we hear about Krishna in Krishna Katha or chant his holy names, then Krishna enters through our ear holes as Krishna, as Bhagavan, who is very willing to reciprocate to us in a loving mood. So when devotees pray for Krishna within the heart, what they do is the form of DT to, so so when you are not in New Vrindavan, then you may meditate on Radha Vrindavan Chandra within your heart and pray to them. So but when you are in New Vrindavan, in the temple hall, you may go in front of their lordships and directly pray to them.
And also even through the holy name, and they just say Krishna, Krishna. And that's a form of the Lord also.
True.
May be no real picture in your head at some points in time, but just the name is also a form.
Yes.
Yes, beautiful explanation. It just really brings joy to my heart. Thank you so much for your rich and loving exchanges. Thank you.
Thank you, Mother. Hare Krishna. Yes, Sachi Pran Prabhu.
Prabhu, Dandatana, Prabhuji, please accept my in case of we see Anukul Bhakti and Pratikul Bhakti also, like how Shishupal also got on a Sayujya Mukti, his soul merged into Krishna. So his process of he just about envy, and he was absorbed in the envious nature of Krishna, and he was just remembering Krishna in a Pratikul way. But that cannot be called as Bhakti also.
Yeah.
Because bhakti is something which is anukulenu Krishnanu.
Correct.
So still he got liberation.
Yeah. That is so the that is the exclusive benefit of being killed by the hands of Krishna. And this prerogative is not there in any other incarnation of the Lord. In all the other incarnations, including Lord Ramachandra and Lord Narasimha, when they kill the demons do not attain liberation. They may attain an exalted position, a position better than what they deserve, but liberation is there only when Krishna kills. So why? Because Krishna's form is so attractive that even the demons get absorbed in thinking about that form. And that absorption in that form, even though in an inimical way, the power of that absorption gives them liberation actually. So, yes, even though it is not anukul, but they attain generally only Sayujya Mukti. Only impersonal liberation. They will not get any kind of personal liberation.
So Ravana and Kumbhakarna also, Prabhuji, they also got liberated, no?
Now, where did they get liberated? They came again as Shishupal and Dandavakra, no?
Oh, okay. But any person who got liberated, is there any chance to that the person again take birth? No.
If he is already liberated, why would he take birth?
In the process of practicing bhakti, we say that bhakti, when we practice bhakti, the mukti is a byproduct of bhakti. And then when we try to explain to other person that bhakti is superior to jnana, karma mishra, jnana mishra bhakti. So all these processes, the bhakti is superior. So when we try to explain them superiority of bhakti, because all this process, whatever the other process are going to give, is bhakti is also going to give. Is that our explanation?
Yeah. You may try out that explanation. They may accept or not accept depending on whether they have Sukriti or not. So this is not a logical presentation. We have to understand. This logic will work only if they have sufficient devotional credits to their account. If they don't, they may just nod their head If they are gentlemen, they may just nod their head but not practice bhakti. If they are not so gentle, they may argue with you and give their own arguments and not accept. So you should not feel, I have very logic presented, why he's not accepting? Because logic, to different people, different logic will appeal. That logic which you are presenting is a devotional logic. That logic will appeal only to those persons who have that devotional faith. If they don't have that faith, then however logically we may present, it will not appeal to them.
And Amsa Prabhuji, there is a shloka in 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, no? Bhaktya tu seva ananya shakya aham eva vidho juna.
Yes.
So here Krishna is saying that only by undivided devotional service can I be understood.
Okay.
As I am.
Okay.
Standing before you. That means okay. he meant to say that the only personal form is realized by the process of devotional service.
Yeah, personal form can be realized only by the process of Ananya Bhakti.
That means the process is superior than other processes because the Krishna's...
Only if he accepts that understanding Krishna's personal form is the highest goal. That itself people may not accept. Na? Why they will accept that... that is why we have to understand there are a lot of things which we take for granted as devotees. That prasadam is very good, non-prasadam is bad. This is very easy to understand. The deities are good, ordinary sculptures are not, they are not potent. Very easy to understand for us. The holy name is good, ordinary names are not transcendental. Very easy to understand for us. Devotees are good, non-devotees are not so good. This is very easy for us to understand. But many times, what we do, this, because of this, we cannot develop empathy towards others who may struggle to accept these conclusions because they don't have sufficient sukriti. They don't have sufficient devotional credits. So certain things which may be very easy for us to understand and accept, it may be extremely difficult for others to accept. So similarly, to realize the personal form is the topmost. Yeah, but not everyone will accept that also as the topmost. It is not easy for people to, it may not be easy for them to understand.
So another point, Prabhuji, there is another shloka in the Bhagavad Gita that Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati Yavan Yastasmi Tatvata Tatomam Tatvata Vishatetam Antaratmi is entering into the kingdom of God. So all the person who was getting liberated, they are just merging into the effulgence of the Lord. There is no entrance in the kingdom of God.
That's okay. They don't want it only. They can't see entrance into kingdom of God as something very great. What will I do in the kingdom of God?
There is no desire only to go there.
There is no desire only. They will say that, in kingdom of God, what you will do? You will say, we will have a loving relationship with Krishna. Relationship there also? Please. I don't want to go there. What about Sahaja Mukti? There is no relationship there. Please book a ticket for me to that place. That is what is, that is very attractive for them. So why do you think going to the kingdom of God may be very attractive to everyone? That.
Perfect. Thank you so
much. Hare Krishna. Okay. I need, someone is waiting for me and I need to rush. I will take one quick question. And if that quick question is answered quickly, then I may take one more question. Yes, Ramacharya.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. In one of your slides, you mentioned that Ashtang Yogi also gets Sayujya Mukti. I thought only Gyan Yogi gets the Sayujya Mukti. But Ashtang Yogi should have the higher destination. Is not true? So how they
higher get destination of what they will get? What
like Salokya or Sar Salokya or Sar
Sri. They will not. No. Salokya or Sajti, that is personal liberation, one will aspire for personal liberation or one will find personal liberation very attractive only if there is a predominance of bhakti. If there is no prominence of bhakti, then such persons will not find personal liberation attractive. They will find impersonal liberation only attractive. So Ashtanga yogis may more quickly attain Sayujya than the Jnana yogis, or more easily they may attain Sayujya than Ashtanga yogis. But if Ashtanga yogis have to even aspire for a better destination, they will have to have a predominance of bhakti. With a predominance of yoga, they will not find Vaikuntha or Salokya Mukti very attractive, actually.
So do they merge into Paramatma then?
No, there is nothing like merging into Paramatma.
Oh.
Is that okay, bro?
Yes.
One last question, if you can quickly ask me.
Harishna Prabhuji, sorry Prabhuji, you better, Prabhuji asked now, Prabhuji, regarding Shishubal and Dandavakra, and you said only those are killed by Krishna alone gets liberated. But yeah, for Jayan Vijay, that is the last birth now, Prabhuji.
Okay, forget about Jayan Vijaya. Okay, this argument comes in Laghu Bhagavatam. So Rupa Goswami talks about this argument. Someone may say that Baldev Vidya Bhushan, in his commentary to Laghu Bhagavatamrita, he gives this argument. Someone may say, oh, this is just the last birth of Jayan Vijaya in the form of Shishupal and Dantavakra, that's why they got liberated. He says that if that was the case, then Rupa Goswami would have mentioned it that way. So you take any of the asuras killed by any other incarnations and show any one of them who got liberated.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there is none. But every single demon killed by Krishna, he got liberated. Forget about Shishupal and Dantavakra. Take all others.
Mm-hmm. Yes, true.
Agasur,
Putana.
Bakasur, Putana. Putana. Everyone got. Yeah. But the others killed by the other incarnations, they may at the most get a superior position than what they deserve, but they cannot get liberation.
Okay, thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so thank you all very much for your patient listening. I'm sorry, I have to rush somewhere. Someone is waiting for me. So we will continue this discussion further next Friday. So till then, we will pause here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.